This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us. It is hour number two as we continue along with Wake Up Call here on SportsMap Radio. Keith Smith is going to join us from Yahoo Sports. We're going to talk some NBA. All right, maybe we're not super close to the playoffs, but remember earlier this week there was this big brouhaha about the play-in tournament, and then Luka Doncic didn't like it, so immediately Mark Cuban didn't like it either. But where are we exactly when it comes to the playoffs? Steph Curry's getting red hot for the Golden State Warriors. They're on the outside looking in, but they're in one of those bubble placements on the outside where they could win a game or two to get into the playoffs. We'll take a look at the standings. We'll take a look at where we are in the NBA and get that with Keith Smith coming up. We'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. Justin Fields' stock rose within a 24-hour span, making me even more convinced that the media just can't contain itself when it comes to writing narratives about this quarterback from Ohio State. Look, we do this all the time at the Super Bowl, all right? We have 2 weeks between the AFC and NFC championship games and the Super Bowl. Now, I can remember growing up where you would immediate assessment of the Super Bowl was, oh, God, that team's going to get killed by the other team, right? Usually it was the NFC team that was going in, you know, that was the clear favorite. But after 2 weeks, the media would always be looking for things to talk about, right? They would always say, well, you know, actually, this AFC team that you think is going to lose by five touchdowns actually is a pretty good defense. Or, you know what? There's a couple of holes in this team's plan of attack. And maybe this thing, you would just start seeing the narratives of maybe this is going to be a closer game than you think. Maybe this is going to be an actual epic Super Bowl battle. And then it's 55-10, and then you know, that was it. We're doing that in the draft. The draft is the same way. We have an order. We have the teams 1 through 32 that are going to pick in round one. We want to know who's moving up, who's moving down, who would go with this guy. What about this conversation? Does that statement say a lot about his status? Will he be a top three pick, or will he drop all the way down to 9? Will the Patriots move up to get it? We have all of this conversation. And Justin Fields being part of this conversation, being part of this narrative, his stock is just going to fluctuate till it's time for the draft. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along here on Wake Up Call. It's the Friday edition. Get you ready for the weekend. So what is the good of the day?
When you all are safely at work, log on to Twitter or just Google it, this Bobcat video.
Bobcat video.
And this will be the good of the day. I don't know if I would be in the same, if I could do the same thing that this husband did for his wife. But if you want, you watch the video, you don't really see it at first. But this bobcat attacks his wife. It's kind of hard to see.
Let's rewind, because one of the things that when we do videos, we always go, watch it later.
Watch it later.
We don't want to say that now, so we want to set up the video.
Yeah.
So a man is working, packing his car.
And it looks like a very peaceful morning. He's saying good morning to the neighbors, walk in. I mean, it seems like, you know, like this is just a normal everything. And this is one of those house cams. Or rings, or you know those cameras that just record as soon as somebody walks by it. And she, you know, and then you see the wife enter, and it looks like she's carrying maybe a cat in a case,
yeah,
or a dog
cat
in a case. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's a small little carrier.
But she's screaming at the top of her lungs because there's a bobcat on her back.
On her back.
Attacking her. Just, and then the husband grabs the bobcat, and he's holding it up in the air,
yeah,
and screaming, it's a bobcat, it's a bobcat, and then throws it across his yard, just chucks it over his head across the yard. The bobcat, realizing he's in for a fight, scampers away on the yard underneath the car, and they're chasing him and yelling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would jump into the car and just keep driving back and forth for a little bit.
Yes.
You know, hoping to hit it. I don't know. Maybe that's animal cruelty, but that's me. Because I don't know. I would think, I would hope that I would have enough adrenaline. I think I probably would to go grab this cat. Because you probably wouldn't realize it's a bobcat at first, right?
Now, why did you put this in the good category? What about the video that was good? Just the entertainment value?
No.
Or the guy chucking the
Hero.
Bobcat? I'm not messing around with this bobcat.
I'm using the word hero because he immediately ran over there and grabbed it.
Yeah.
And just grabbed it. Now, you know, in fairness, it sounds like a cat. Sounds like just like an angry cat. You might just think it's just a regular old cat that just has attitude. And you're just going over picking up a cat. And you could tell when he realizes that he's staring down. He's staring face to face with a bobcat, which I think is a little more dangerous, right?
Just
throwing it out there.
You know, there's a running track. There's like a mile walking path that is just this really nice place. And I remember when I was running, training for my 5K, I said to a friend of mine, I said, you know, I think I should go there in the early morning. He goes, man, bobcats. And that was it. That's all he had to say. And I never went there early in the morning. I don't even know if that's true. I don't remember hearing anybody report it. But all he said was, man, bobcats in the morning. And that was it. That was all he needed to say. And I was like, nope.
That would be enough.
Be running there in the AM. No
That'd be
chance.
Enough. I mean, we've seen videos of, are bobcats, I imagine bobcats are vicious, right?
I kind of think they are, yeah.
I mean, I know they're smaller. You know, it's not like, you know, that one video where the guy was just being tracked by a mountain lion.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Where he was walking backwards and the mountain lion
kept following him.
Yeah. Like, I think when a bear attacks you, the bear is like, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to kill you. And I think a bobcat will attack you and then go, okay, I'm good. I'm leaving now. I'm like, as long as I got this subdued, I'm taking, I don't think it's in for the kill, but I could be wrong.
Right.
But yeah, bobcats, man.
See, now this
seemed a little small. I thought a bobcat was bigger. So I'm not 100%
maybe,
sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
Size,
I don't know, but I mean, he was able to identify it right away. But it's just the hero factor that he didn't hesitate. He ran right over there, grabbed it off his wife. Because that's the crazy part. I mean, this thing was literally on her back.
Yeah, that was great job, husband.
Yes, that's why.
Well done.
Hero of the day is the good of the day.
What's the bad of the day?
We are one step closer to Planet of the Apes.
One step closer?
One step closer to the Planet of the Apes.
Not multiple steps?
Well, maybe this took multiple steps, but researchers from the Salk Institute in California have produced monkey-human chimeras, which is basically they took some monkey genes and some human genes and meshed them together to create, you know, chimeras enough to sustain an embryo.
So you're going to have a half-monkey, half-human...
Could. They destroyed it afterwards. They're just doing it in the name of science.
Yeah, yeah, of course they did.
But their thinking behind it, or the logic behind it, is like, hey, this would be great towards like organ transplants and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we
know where that leads.
Yeah, no.
And if
you
say you destroy it, I'm sorry. I always think of, what's his name? Newman from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, right. He put it in the Barbasol shaving cream can.
How do we know some guy was
smuggling it off the island?
Some guy wasn't selling this. Like, yeah, we successfully kind of married these two together. We could have a human monkey hybrid.
So,
which leads me to believe Planet of the Apes.
Now, the newer Planet of the Apes, with James Franco, sort of explained how the Planet of the Apes came to be. Right, there was this thing that made apes smarter. It was like his formula, and Caesar gave it to all the apes, and they just basically took over time. Then there was also a plague, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the plot, but yeah. All I remember is Charlton Heston, the original. Oh, you blew it up. But yeah, okay. Well, I'm a little nervous now because
why do we go down this route? Why do we need to do that? I understand if you want to bring back the dodo bird. You know, because we kind of killed them off. Or if you bring back an animal that we killed off.
That's right.
Like, if you wanted to clone the, you know, a rhinoceros because there's so few of them, I get that.
You're not bringing back a condor. Dinosaurs had their time. Nature selected them for extinction.
Exactly.
Right.
And we don't need a half monkey, half human running around town getting all the other monkeys riled up and, you know, starting a coup against human race. Yeah.
I don't need to have a, I don't want to have a rational conversation with an animal.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't want to have a, like where I'm like, I'm
I don't care. If you've ever seen the movie George of the Jungle, I don't care how cool Ape was to George.
Right.
You know, his talking best friend and who spoke English and was well versed in all, you know, English literature. I don't care about that. And even if it came out with John Cleese's voice, that's fine.
Yeah.
I still don't need it.
I just saw a video. I think Rex Chapman posted it where there was this chimp. And this chimp, and it said, this chimp was born with broken ribs, pneumonia, right? And then
saw that too.
His family cared for this chimp, and then the chimp, like, saw the family for the first time in a while and just ran and hugged the woman and then hugged, then got down and hugged the man and was just so enamored with love. But I had a question, the little cynic in me. Would you trust the love of that chimp when it grew up to be whatever, a gorilla? Is that what they grow up to be? I mean,
no, they just grow up to be chimps.
Big monkeys.
Yeah, they're just chimpanzees.
Would you trust it years later? Or would you think that chimp always would have that love for that family?
I don't know. You get those videos every once in a while. Like, you know, there's viral videos of the guy who, like, had lion cubs and then released them back, and the lion came over and gave him hugs. And or, you know, the person who rescued an elephant when it was a calf. And you see those videos all the time. I would still be nervous.
Yeah, because we haven't domesticated these. Like,
no.
My dog will never bite me. My dog will she'll charge anything that comes my way. I mean, she will bark anybody comes to the house. She'll never. But if I had a chimpanzee, I would think any day it would just go, I'm not a chimp. I'm a chimp. I'm going to give you a face off.
This is the last time you give me a rotten banana.
Yeah, like the right. Like the lion, the tiger that bit Siegfried and Roy
right.
Horn.
Yes.
Like they cared for that tiger since it was, but it just realized it was a tiger one day and just was like, that's enough.
It was like, hey, you didn't give me my 5 pounds portion.
Right.
I'm
and
going after
you now.
I can
bite your neck off and I'm going to do that. So, ugh. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it was very heartwarming. Don't get me wrong.
No,
it's
a great feeling. I mean, like, you know, like Rex Chapman had put down on there. It's a timeline cleanser.
Yeah, right.
I like those. It's like, yes, you know, remember there is good things in the world. But, I mean, for every one of those videos, how many of those videos were like, hey, Chip, remember me? And the chip just went, you know, bananas and like tore its face off.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We don't see those videos.
Nope. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is, I don't know if the Washington football team was just using the public as a focus group.
Yeah, maybe they were.
Maybe they were, but they released a whole bunch of names, team names, possible team names. So, you know, and we don't know, none of these are, you know, 100% like, yes, this is the route they're going. But some of the names they've came up with was the Washington Wild Hogs.
No.
Washington Riders.
Not bad.
How about the Red Wolves?
Seems basic.
Aviators?
Not bad.
Okay, this one, I don't know about this one. Washington Wayfarers?
You know, I'm making judgments on these, and I don't know the historical context of some of these names. Like I'm going dumb, and then, like, no, it's not dumb, because there was this group, and they were called the Wayfarers, and they were the first all-female military unit, and, you know, I don't want to insult that.
Well, the Wild Hogs, isn't that was what the fans were known as, right? They were the Hogs.
The Hogs, that was the offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be bad.
This one, I think, is just completely dumb, and if you're going to do this, just stick with Washington football team. Washington Capital City Football Club.
No. Just do Washington football. You're 100% correct. Just do Washington football team. If you're gonna, don't make it that complicated. I barely can listen. It's gonna take me a while. I am. I hate to say this, but I'm not like the young people that can pick up these new names. I still call them sometimes the San Diego Chargers. I'm still like my brain. It takes longer for me to reset my brain sometimes, but. Washington football team was one that I really tried hard because I know that the nickname was offensive and they were trying to really get away from it. It wasn't like a marketing switch, right? You know, it wasn't like, we don't like this name anymore. We want to sell different jerseys, so we're changing our name. This was a getting rid of something that people deem offensive. And so I tried really hard to make, but I'd still call them the Redskins every now and then.
Now, it's funny
don't
because
make it too complicated for me. Just pick something easy.
A lot of people are posting what they on Twitter, posting what they got, and they all got different lists. So some listeners look like that. Others, you know, had, you know, there's the Washington Rising, Washington Swifts, the Washington Presidents.
Not Presidents.
Yeah, but all of them have different ones. Like one team had Capital City Football Club, another one had First City Football Club.
Please.
Yeah.
We're getting too ridiculous now.
I mean,
Dan Snyder likes Washington. I don't think he needs to change it to Capital City or. I think he likes Washington. And whatever that comes after that.
Yeah, maybe they need to change that part.
Maybe so.
Just change Washington. Where do they play? They play at. Don't they play in Arlington?
They play in, yeah, Virginia.
Yeah. Maybe they just go. Maybe they just say, you know what, guys, we're not even in Washington.
Do they play in Virginia or Maryland? I'll have to look it up, but it's one of. If they don't play in. I don't know. Where do they? We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. When we come back, we'll talk some. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL draft, and then we got Keith Smith coming up talking some NBA as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Keith Smith's going to join us from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk some NBA coming up. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstar lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The Redskins, well, the not Redskins, the football team of Washington, they play.
So you still do
See, I still do it, and that's hard. They play in Landover, Maryland. We were kind of contemplating where FedEx Field was.
Yep.
Was it in Virginia? Was it in Maryland? It's in Landover, Maryland. So it's close. It's like a couple of miles away from Washington, D.C., so... He likes the Washington part of his team, so I doubt he'll change it to Capital City anything. So, but whether or not he goes with a, you know, a cool nickname is, you know, we'll see.
Maybe he'll like football team?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe we'll see. So the NFL draft, again, 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing all sorts of first-round analysis. Won't that be fun? We'll be going all over the picks, and we'll be like, I don't know how the Steelers got Justin Fields, but they did. We don't know. We have no idea how it's going to be playing out. But as I was saying earlier at the top of the hour, one of the things that you get when you have this event, and there's so much speculation, and everybody has their talking points, you have two things that are going on in the media. One, there's a necessary need to sort of create some stories out of the one event. Now, look. The draft is going to be over 3 days, but everybody's focusing on the Thursday primetime first round. That's where all the clicks are going to be. I mean, really, seriously, try to get a bunch of clicks on the, you know, on the Green Bay Packers, not a sixth round selection, right? It doesn't work. But if you sort of speculate that these teams could be trading up, that this team likes this guy, that this guy's stock is falling, It creates some buzz and it creates a story. So we always get this whenever we have one singular event and a lot of time to process what that event is. Now, it doesn't mean that those stories aren't valid. There's some really good people doing some great work trying to get some inside information. One of the problems with draft coverage is there are smoke signals that get sent all over the place, right? There are sort of diversion tactics, if you will. Teams use the media to sort of drop a trial balloon story to see where it will land. It's a strategy that they use in selecting players. They want to see if they can get something printed, whatever it may be. It's a game the media plays. Some media is a little bit more savvy to that than others, but that's basically how it works. But I also think the other thing, too, is there is a hot take culture. We certainly live in it. And it, you know, it is allowed for a lot of people to have opportunities to speak up and give their opinions on sports, which I like. But it also means that all those talking heads on TV, they want to keep their jobs. And how do you keep your job in the media business, in the television analyst business? You're different than everybody else, right? If I've got analyst A and he says his five thoughts on the draft, and you are analyst B, and actually those are also your observations of the draft, you can't go repeat all five of those. You have to separate yourself from commentator A because that's how you stay relevant. So what happens is there are you're just going to have hot takes, right? Well, I don't think this guy is a top 10 pick. And they're like, you're crazy. No, here's why. All of a sudden, when you throw that into the big stew, right, you get something like what Justin Fields is going through right now, where yesterday there were like legitimate stories on why is his stock dropping? Why are his handlers saying, we don't know what's the problem? He checks off all the boxes. The NFL seems to want these kind of players, but they really don't want these kind of players if Justin Fields is dropping in the draft. You know, stories like, could the Broncos get Justin Fields at 9? Right, those kind of things. Well, why? Why are they happening? Because there was a lot of little speculation. I took one little work ethic thing and blew it up. Today, there's a conversation about him going 3rd overall. Right? All of a sudden, the infatuation with Mac Jones by San Francisco has now turned into a love affair of Justin Fields. That's a natural thing that occurs at this time of year. That's 2 weeks from now, we will probably have the Justin Fields story 6 different ways, right? I mean, before you know it, somebody will be like, I don't even know if he's a first-round pick.
Or, right? Hey, he might be the number one overall, really.
Who? Yeah, right? Because everyone in Jacksonville is going to be upset that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have anything to prove.
Well, didn't he dismantle Clemson?
Right, yeah, right.
Just saying.
So there you go. I mean, that's basically where we're at with this. And I look, we'll have our fun. We'll have our fun with the stories in the next 2 weeks and analyze it. Look, I'm curious. Will the Patriots seriously move up to get a quarterback? I still, here we are in April.
I don't think so.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Doesn't seem like a Belichick move.
But at the same time, I'm like, are they really all in on Cam Newton? Yeah. Is that really going to be where we're going?
And if you're Jason Stidham, are you like, why? I'm just here. I'm just here to get a paycheck.
Just let me know when you want me to play. I'm good. So that's my question. I'm looking at the Broncos too. Drew Lock, how much? I was on the Drew Lock train. I thought Broncos selected the right guy. Here we are a couple of years later, and he's not necessarily the right guy. Okay, maybe the Broncos try again with another quarterback. So there are a number of different things that we're going to be exploring over the next 2 weeks, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys a primer to remember that a lot of it is speculation. A lot of it is just trying to differentiate, to be different from the pack of people saying the same things about the draft. Try to create some stories that may not exist because you kind of get to do it with the draft, right? Like, here's the deal. I think the Patriots will move up to number 4. Really? Yeah, I got an inside source that's telling me the Patriots will move up to number 4. Then draft day happens and it doesn't happen. Well, I guess I was wrong. I mean, think about this. Mel Kiper has had an amazing career covering one event over and over again where he's most of the time wrong and America doesn't seem to care. He's like the weatherman of sports, right? It's going to be a sunny day on Tuesday. Rain will come in on Friday. Then Tuesday comes in and it's pouring. And the weather guy goes, it's weather. What are you going to do? And we go, great. I'll watch you again tomorrow. Draft analysis is the same thing. Kiper does his homework, but he only can go so far with the predictions. It's all his thoughts, all of his projections, and some pan out and some don't. Those of us who have been covering drafts for a long time, we've probably, like him, been more wrong than we've been right. You know? I mean, I remember one time I was doing a promotion, and we had a contest. Pick the top 10 draft picks, right? Like, if you can write down the top 10 players in order they're going to pick, you would win this huge prize. And the insurance on that was so low because it was nearly impossible to win that game. It was unless you were, again, the Gray Sports Almanac, you were not going to do it because it's such a up and down, trades happen, players go unexpected in different spots. We're all trying to read the same things, but sometimes we don't read them all correctly. All right, Keith Smith will join us. Yahoo Sports will talk NBA, where we stand right now here in the second half of the season. That's next, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We got Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports, talk some NBA with us as we head down the home stretch. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Let's start with the retirement of LaMarcus Aldridge. Came last night, came suddenly. Obviously, his health is a big concern. How do you put it, LaMarcus Aldridge's career into context?
Yeah, he's going to be a guy who's a really interesting Hall of Fame case. He had, at his peak, he was never necessarily an MVP candidate, but he was a multiple-time All-NBA guy. I believe it was five times in his career. He was an All-Star or in All-Star consideration just about every career season of his career. So I think he's a guy who became very underrated at points because he was never really a flashy player. He was never a guy who was at the top of the leaderboards. But when you look at everything, just consistent, you know, 2010 double-double production every night for, you know, a decade's worth of play, that's a player that I think is going to really be close to being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't realize some of his career numbers. And then when I got a look at them this morning, I went, this is impressive. I mean, maybe it was too quiet for me, but these were really impressive numbers that stood out for his career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, unfortunately, part of why it was missed and lost was he played in Portland. And for a lot of the country, that's, you know, that they don't play games until 10 or 10:30 at night out there. And that, you know, a lot of, you know, half the country or more doesn't see him play. And then in San Antonio, that kind of became, by the time he got there, they weren't necessarily the NBA Finals level Spurs during his run in San Antonio. So they were a little bit out of the national consciousness as well. But that doesn't take away from the fact that his teams are in the playoffs almost every single year. And he was a big, big part of that.
All right, let's go to the team he's leaving, Brooklyn. They're a game behind Philadelphia right now in the Eastern Conference. Everyone's kind of wondering what this team will look like, where it's coming together. Where is Brooklyn right now?
Yeah, they're very, very good. The challenge right now for the Nets is, are they going to get enough games where they can play Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden together to really feel comfortable in end game situations? All right, you know, and if they do play together, are they going to play in close games? That's what you're really kind of waiting to see with this team. Unfortunately, they don't defend well enough that they're going to be blowing teams out in playoff games. They're going to be in tight games, and that's really kind of your question is, you know, can they find the right pecking order, right understanding of who should be where and when at the end of close games, who's going to have the ball, and those kind of things. They should be able to work it out. They just haven't had those games together yet. So that's kind of their biggest question, because I think we've answered the question of if they're going to defend or not, and I think the answer is no.
Let's go to the West, where Denver lost Jamal Murray, and in the Western Conference, it is very precarious. You really need everything going right if you want to win that conference. How much of a blow was this to the Nuggets?
Yeah, absolutely massive. It is one of those things that took them probably out of the title contender consideration. It's really unfortunate too. Now the lone silver lining is it happened with, you know, a month or so to go in the regular season, and that's big because that allows the Nuggets to readjust, to figure out some new roles, figure out their rotation. Had this happened, you know, a week out from the playoffs or something like that, that becomes really hard because that's just not something you're prepared for to re kind of jigger everything to make it work. So I think what you're looking at now for Denver is they need guys to step up in the backcourt. And I'm just not sure that they have those players on the roster. It sounds like they may add Austin Rivers. He's going to help depth-wise. But they need more out of the guys like Monte Morris, Facundo Campazzo, as well as Will Barton. That's what they can do to get themselves to stay at that level. Otherwise, it's going to be an awful lot on the shoulders of Nikola Jokic.
There was a conversation earlier this week, Mark Cuban, Luka Doncic, talking about this play-in tournament format for the bottom teams of the conference playoff run. Is that a sentiment that we're seeing in other places around this league, or is this just a Mavericks thing?
There's a little bit of chatter about it, especially from those teams that are in the 7th-8th spots and feel a little more comfortable in that's where they're going to be come the end of the season. But what you're hearing now is, you know, should the NBA have left the standings qualifier in there? And that's something that I think they should have done, like they did in the bubble, where if you're five games or more back, you're not getting a shot at getting into the playoffs. You didn't do enough in the regular season. If you're only a couple games out, all right, let's have that conversation and let's move forward with this play-in tournament. What my personal hope is that they don't overreact to things and scrap this or make giant changes to it after just this one season. This has been a weird year where a lot of different things have happened. I'd like to see them experiment with this for the next, you know, 2-3 seasons beyond this one, and then make a decision. You know, add the standings qualifier tweak back in there, but let's give this a real chance to see how it works, because otherwise we're not going to learn how the teams are affected by this at the trade deadline, and then even how they're going to be affected playing it out, because you may have some teams that are like, it's just not worth it for us to even make the play-in run. We're not going anywhere, even if we do that anyway. So that's something that I want to see the NBA take into consideration.
Yeah, because in the end, I get the sort of idea behind it. Is there a worry that you can't let everybody sort of in this process towards the end? There has to be some reward for being in the top eight rather than playing in something that you could have a bad two nights and be out of this thing.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think what you have to factor in is that's why I think the standings qualifier becomes so important, because
right.
you
yep.
should not be, you know, in a position where you were, you know, five games out and it's like, all right, well, now we're going to make our run in the play-in. Now, on the flip side, I think it's starting to be a lot to do about nothing when we're talking about the 7th and 8th seeds in the playoffs. It's pretty rare that one of those teams, you know, goes beyond the first round. And if they do, it's very rare that they go beyond the second round. So I don't want to get too lost in this, because what I do think it does is creates interest in the end of the regular season. But I do, you know, very much understand that 72 games this year, 82 games in a regular year, those should have meaning. But if a team is one game out, I don't have a problem with, you know, giving them a shot. Even a, you know, 2-3 games out, I think, you know, that can be explained by, hey, we had a, you know, bad run of injuries, and in this season it can be, hey, we got, you know, half our roster wiped out by COVID for a couple weeks, and that's the only reason why we're, you know, two games out in ninth place. And I do think that's fair to reward that team with a shot at least playing themselves in.
All right, as far as, again, staying in the Western Conference, you know, Utah, I get. Phoenix was that team last year that I was really impressed with. Made that run towards a playoff, didn't get it, but, man, they looked good. But now, today, the 2-seed, 40 wins after 55 games – what am I missing? Where is this? How are they that good over the teams that are really together in the Western Conference? I granted, I get the Lakers have not had LeBron and Anthony Davis. This is a phenomenal outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the best Phoenix team we've seen in, you know, at least a decade or so. And,
yeah.
And you want to attribute a lot of it to the Chris Paul factor, right?
Right.
You know, he is that good. I mean, look what he did with a not very good Oklahoma City team, you know, last year. He lifted them into the playoffs. But I don't want to, just like with the Thunder last year, I don't want to overlook what the Suns did with the rest of their roster. They did a nice job with some offseason additions and Jay Crowder and a couple other guys. They've done a nice job building up their talent base over the last couple of years, especially they had the top of the draft guys of Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. But then you ended up, you know, hitting on some guys in trades like Dario Saric and like that built out your depth. And now you've got a team that fits together really well. They've got the big man, they've got the scoring, and then they have a whole collection of guys who are, you know, wings that can do all sorts of things, and they approach every game with a defensive mindset at that position, and that's really big. That makes a difference. They're stars and then really good role players, and that's why right now they're sitting at second place.
In terms of the Knicks, we always like looking at the Knicks, but Tom Thibodeau seems to be working. Sometimes players don't react to Thibodeau, but it seems to be working now. Is it a little too early, though, to say it's working long-term, or it will be working long-term, or are we just kind of sort of catching them by surprise?
Yeah, working long-term is definitely too early, because we've seen Tibbs do this other places where
right.
he comes in, he helps turn things around right away, but then his style kind of wears on guys and wears them down. That said, I think we've seen him make some tweaks. He's not overly reliant on his starting five and maybe one player off the bench. He's consistently playing 9 or 10 guys, and they're all getting, you know, 10-ish plus minutes. And that I think is maybe the single biggest adjustment he's made. Where he hasn't made an adjustment, and it's a good thing, is he's making them defend. And if you don't defend, you don't play for Tom Thibodeau. So you have to get out there and really give a good effort. And you've seen that team now. Well, what they've done is they went from this kind of disorganized just collection of players that were there together to now a roster that's kind of melded together and fits. And the front office did a great job of holding on to their flexibility, really keeping their powder dry. They didn't go out chasing after, mid-tier free agents and giving them big money. They really, were smart and patient about the way they put this together. That, more than Thibodeau, is what gives me a little more confidence in the long-term future of the Knicks.
All right, one final thought as we head down to the home stretch. This has been a bizarre year, going even back to the bubble, how it's all been compressed. What do you think teams will be looking like in the last few weeks of the regular season? Will we see a lot of load management questions, a lot of different styles of pacing, getting ready for the playoffs? I got to think eventually some wear and tear is really going to start creeping in, or at least the question is going to creep in.
Yeah, we're already seeing that, with guys just kind of dropping here and guys going out and some of these soft tissue injuries that have held guys out for long terms. But I think what you're going to see teams do is as soon as they know they've got the playoff spot, you're going to see some, I like to call them seeding shenanigans, where it's, do we really want to play LeBron and AD in the first round? All right, maybe we could drop a place in the standings and those kind of things. I think you might see, some of that going on. And I think you're going to see the teams that are at the top of the conference, especially like in the East, where the top three teams have pretty good separation. I think what you're going to see there is you're going to see them really make a they're going to make their decisions based on health versus seeding. You're already seeing the Nets do that. They essentially threw away a game against Philadelphia because, we don't really care if we're the one seed. We'll see if that comes back to bite them or not. But for right now, that's what the priority is let's get ourselves in the best position possible moving this thing forward health-wise. And then the last thing I will say is a big thing, and this was really only something that kind of came to mind for me, is because of the play-in tournament this year, the NBA season ends on a Sunday. I want to say it's like Sunday, May 16th, something like that, or 22nd or something. And then you go into those teams that are six-seeded or higher, that are the assured playoff teams, they're going to get 5 or 6 days off.
Yeah,
and I
right.
think that's going to be absolutely huge for those teams to avoid. All right, we don't have to play in these couple of playing games, never mind the potential of losing in the play-in. It's just, these are a couple of days where we can get off our feet for a couple of days, then really rest up and practice for our first round series. And I think that's going to be huge. So that's, a little added incentive to win games down the stretch. So it'll be curious to see how teams prioritize that.
That is a great point. Keith, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Again, great stuff at Yahoo Sports. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate having me. I'll stay safe, you and yours.
Absolutely. You too. Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA. Great stuff. Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Very interesting point. We'll elaborate a couple of more thoughts on that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of a Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can. Hey, have you got a project coming up this weekend? Don't forget Tub of Towels. Tub of Towels literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface to clean just about everything. I mean, I've been telling you this for a couple of weeks now. Grease, oil, tar, adhesives, chalks, brake dust, permanent marker, food, drink stains. Tub of Towels has got the strength you need to get the job done in your car, in your garage, walls, floors. You're going to bring it in the house on appliances, countertops, outdoor grills. It's made in the USA, and it's gentle on the hands. Aloe vera, vitamin E, lanolin. Make sure that even though it's tough on grease, it's easy on the hands. Vapor lock lid snaps shut. Big, strong tub. It creates that tight seal, keeping the cleaning wipes moist. And that's Tub of Towels. You can find them at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, Pep Boys. Check them out. Tub of Towels. All right, Keith Smith, who I once called Kevin Smith, and he corrected me that he was not the director of Clerks, which yes. I thought was cool because I, you know, was confusing.
It's got to be tough.
It's got to be tough.
I mean, he's probably gotten that many, many times.
Yeah, we just want to go Kevin Smith, even if, you know, your name is Keith.
I know. I had
it's
to double
check. It's not
the
exact same one, right? It's not like the Michael Bolton situation in Office.
No. No, right, Keith doesn't have to change his name. Or maybe he already did. Maybe so. He was born Kevin.
Maybe so. But he makes a very good point with this play-in game. If you're in the top six seeds, you get like a week off.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. Listen,
especially
if
you're the Lakers right now.
Do I have big sympathy for professional athletes in terms of rest? Not really. But they have crammed a lot of basketball in the
last. Yeah, they have.
I mean,
my God.
Any team that made a run at the you didn't have to be the Lakers or the Heat either. You could have just been a team that, like the Nuggets, they played a ton of games in that Disney World bubble getting to the Western Conference Finals. Then you take a time off and you come right back to do a 72-game schedule and cram it all within a decent amount of time. I mean, that's tough. But if you are, I can see where now the angst is. Like, if I'm not a top six team, I got to keep playing. While everybody else gets to take a little vacation, a little break from basketball to gear up towards the playoffs. Yeah, I can see where the anxiety is starting to set in, making a run towards that, trying to get that sixth seed in the West and the East. All right, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Boston the Gloss coming up next. It is Sports Map Radio.